This is Digital Story Podcast number 815, November 2nd, 2021. Today's theme is preparing for an inclement photo shoot. I'm Derek Story. In just a few days, I leave for the Oregon coast to co-lead a week-long workshop. There are preparations on many fronts, including travel route, photo gear, and apparel. As part of that process, I've noted that the long-range weather forecast predicts plenty of precipitation. That definitely has an impact on my packing, and today I'm going to discuss how I prepare for a wet weather photo shoot. I hope you enjoy the show. So when I first started thinking about this workshop, I was leaning toward an entirely different backpack full of gear. In fact, a different backpack and the gear inside was different as well. But now that I've seen that rain is in the forecast, not just for one day or 2 days, but pretty much the whole time that I'm there, I've rethought those initial plans. And, you know, you get a different set of priorities, at least I do, when I know I'm going to be working in wet weather most of the time. Now, one of the joys of rain-soaked landscapes, is that they are opportunities to get great shots. I love that part of it. You know, and the nice thing about a workshop is that you go, you know what? I am here on a workshop. I am not going to be denied. I'm going to go out there and take shots. Whereas when you're home, you may go, it's raining outside. Think I'll stay in. It's the path of least resistance. But when you're out there already, you're going, no, I'm going to get my shots. I've made this trip. I've got a room. You know, I've done all this preparation. I'm going to go take pictures. And I love that about workshops. And I love it when we get bad weather on workshops and it forces us to go out and get those good shots that we might not normally get. That being said, when I go out in this weather, I need to be ready for it. In other words, I want to be comfortable. I want my gear to be safe. I want to be safe. You know, all these kinds of things. And so that is a whole different preparation. And it leads me to pack different gear than I would normally. So here are some of the things that go through my head as I prepare for a wet weather photo shoot. And some of these will surprise you. And some of them, of course, will not. Let's start with the first one. Scale back. Bad weather makes me want to travel even lighter than in good conditions, and that's coming from the nimble photographer. But the fact of the matter is, I want fewer moving parts. I want a smaller bag, and I want that bag to have a lot of access. I want to be able to move things in and out quickly, and I don't want to have too many things to worry about. All of this really helps when you're dealing with, you know, rain coming down or snow or things like that. You go, okay, I got one camera here. I got maybe another camera body here. I got an extra lens here. I've got my, you know, different things to work with those items here, and I'm ready to go. And I can move in and out, and I can be quick, and I can keep things safe, and I can stay safe. So just scaling back and having fewer moving parts. Now, when we go out on a shoot, we sometimes bring too much gear, and that's understandable because we want to make sure we have what we need to get the shot. We don't want to miss a shot because we don't have the right lens or a tripod or whatever it happens to be. Well, sometimes you have to let go of that just a little bit in order to stay energized, to stay comfortable, because those things lead to being creative. And in the end, if you're feeling creative, if you're feeling strong, you will come away with good shots no matter what gear you have with you. So scale back, limit the number of moving parts. I think you will find it very helpful in bad weather. Second thing, weather resistant is king for the backpack, right? I have all sorts of different carrying solutions, as we used to say at Low Pro. And when I'm thinking about going out in bad weather, that list gets very short all of a sudden. And for this particular trip, I'm going to take the Low Pro ProTactic 350 AW. And there's a couple reasons why I'm taking this particular bag. One is it has access points on both sides and on the top. Plus, if I want to, I can zip the whole back open, and that would be more in the room before I leave, you know, where everything's exposed, to pack the bag, zip it up. But then when I'm in the field, I can grab one camera through one side, I can grab a lens to the other side, I can grab accessories through the top and zip it all back up. And if I grab the camera from the side access, everything else doesn't get wet, right? Because I'm just grabbing this here, this here, this here. In addition to having those great multiple access points, this bag also has a very nice all-weather cover included. Now, the bag itself is already weather resistant, so I can walk around in a light rain with just the bag. However, if things turn nasty on me, then it has an all-weather cover that I can pull over it, and that will really help add protection to everything that's inside the bag. Plus, it's very comfortable, it's not too big, it pulls tight to my body, so it keeps my balance centered, right? Someone asked me when they were preparing for this upcoming workshop, how do you feel about shoulder bags and things like that? Generally speaking, I like shoulder bags for urban shoots, but when I'm out in the wilderness, and especially in conditions where the footing is not as sure as it may be in the city, I like backpacks that I can cinch up close to my body, keep my center of balance so that I'm not thrown off. If you lean over when you're trying to climb up something and your bag swings out, that can throw off your balance. Whereas if you have a backpack that's cinched up close to your body, then everything is like one. Your body and your backpack become one. Much easier to keep your balance under those conditions. A backpack that is weather resistant, that has multiple access points, and that fits snugly to my body, those are all important things in these conditions. And that's why for this particular trip, I'm going to go with the Lowepro Pro Tactic 350. It's not too big, not too small. I think it's going to work perfectly. Third thing, I'm going with my toughest camera, right? So I have a lot of cameras to pick from, and the one that's probably going to surprise you for this particular trip is my main body is going to be the Pentax KP with a handful of Pentax weather-resistant lenses. And the reason why I'm going with this camera, in addition to its great image quality, sensor-based stabilization, you know, all those things about this camera that I like, super compact size. This is a very compact camera it's a DSLR, and it's super compact. And especially when I put on the Pentax 18-50 collapsible weather-resistant lens, honestly, this camera will be smaller with the lens than a lot of the mirrorless cameras that will be there on the workshop. But the thing about Pentax that I was going to say is, over the years, when I have been in terrible conditions, the Pentax always holds up. And I've had, you know, a number of Pentax bodies, the KP being the most current one that I have. They just don't mind bad weather, and neither do their lenses. So I don't have to walk around with a cover on my lens. I don't have to fumble around with a bunch of stuff. I just go out there with a tough camera that is built for bad weather conditions, make sure all the lenses are the weather-resistant models, and just go out there and shoot. Just shoot and shoot and shoot, and it works out really well. Now, the second camera that I'm going to bring with me as a backup camera or as a camera for maybe, you know, more casual situations is going to be the Fujifilm X100V, which is now also weather resistant. I have the front filter on it so that, you know, that's the last thing that it needs to make sure that it's a weather resistant package. I have also shot with that in the rain, and it worked out great. Now, I'm not quite as comfortable with the X100V in super bad weather as I am with the Pentax. Pentax just seems tougher, in all honesty. But I am comfortable with the X100V, and so that will be a nice camera. Now, the third camera that I'm going to have with me is my iPhone 12 Pro Max. And this is a great camera for bad weather. It does very well, and it gives me that ultra-wide lens that I like so much. So I don't have to have this big ultra-wide lens on my DSLR. I can just use the ultra-wide on the iPhone 12 Pro Max. Those three cameras will take very good care of me. The Fujifilm and the Pentax are both APS-C sensors. They're both 24 megapixel. I'm going to have plenty of resolution. And then I get the 12 megapixels with the iPhone 12 Pro Max. I've got a couple very nice weather-resistant lenses. I'm ready to go. It's a tough combination. Now, normally, I might take my Olympus gear and maybe some of my very cool Olympus lenses. But for this particular outing, I'm going to go with the toughest of the tough. Olympus has served me very well in bad weather. Pentax, I don't even think about. So that is my bulletproof camera for this particular trip, along with the Fujifilm and the iPhone 12 Pro Max. Now, just as a side note, I want to mention that I put protection filters on all of my lenses in this kit. And the reason being is that, first of all, I haven't found any compromise to image quality because I use very good filters, right? I use multi-coated filters with great glass. But the second thing that I've noticed is that when the rain is coming down and the wind's blowing, the front of your camera lens is going to get wet, and you're going to have to wipe it off, and you're going to have to wipe it off, and you're going to have to wipe it off. Instead of having to worry about wiping off the front lens, the front objective piece of glass on your lens, and worrying about it, if you have a really good protection filter on there, I can just rub it off with my shirt. I can rub it off with any cloth that I have in my hand. I can use a microfiber cloth. I can use whatever I want, and I don't have to worry about it. And when you're having to wipe the front of the camera off time and time again, a protection filter makes a huge difference. It's so much easier to wipe off. You don't have to worry about it, and you can work faster. So everything will go in the bag with protection filters on, good glass, multi-coated glass, but ready to go for bad weather. Now, speaking of wiping things off, this is my next item, absorbent cloths and big microfibers. If I learned nothing else on two shoots in Iceland, is that man does not work by one microfiber cloth alone in bad weather. That cloth will be messed up in the first hour. It will be. You need multiple microfiber cloths ready to go. And then you also need some nice absorbent cloths, nice soft absorbent cloths. I keep them right there in the camera bag in the same compartment as the cameras. So I'm shooting, the camera gets wet. It's fine. It's wet. It can handle it. But then I wipe it down with the cloth before I stick it back in the bag. And then that way, when I pull it out, it's in pretty good shape and I can start shooting again. Having those cloths make a big difference over the course of the day, because you don't want your camera dripping wet all the time. You don't want to be sticking it in your bag dripping wet, because then over time, the inside of your bag becomes dripping wet as well. So if you have those cloths, then what you can do is wipe down the camera, put it in your bag, stick the cloth in a different compartment in your camera bag, right? Somewhere where all that stuff goes. It's sort of like if you've ever had a gym bag that has an area for your shoes, that separate area for your shoes, that's where all the shoes and stinky stuff goes, right? And it keeps it separate from all of your other good stuff. You need to create a compartment like that in your camera bag. One thing that I found works pretty well is just keep a couple gallon Ziploc bags in the camera bag that I can use as wet bags if over the course of the day these cloths are getting soaked. Keep them in the wet bag. Keep the wet bag inside the camera bag. Everything stays separate. So these are the things that you think of over time or that you learn with experience. But you want those cloths. You want extra cloths and microfibers, and you want something to put them in to keep them separate from everything else in your bag. The next item, appropriate clothing. Appropriate clothing, so super important. And I'm going to start from the bottom up with shoes that provide great footing. When you're in wet conditions, when you're in snowy conditions, you need shoes that provide great footing so that you're not worried about slipping around, and also that are water friendly. Now, what I'm going to be using on this particular trip is a pair of Merrell Chop Rock Sieve shoes, and they have Vibram Mega Grip rubber outer soles and then water-friendly mesh and woven uppers. These things are great. And when I talk about serious Vibram soles, you look at the bottom of these shoes and you go, man, I can walk on anything with these shoes. I love that really thick Vibram sole. These Merrell Chop Rocks have them and they work really well. I don't have to worry about them getting wet. And I actually wear them without socks in really bad conditions because, for instance, in Oregon, we're talking about a low of like, 52 degrees or something like that. That's nothing. And these shoes without socks will keep my feet plenty warm. And then that way, everything can just get wet and I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about wearing wet socks or any of that kind of stuff. Let the shoes get wet. Let my feet get wet. I can dry off my feet when I get back in the car. Again, have a towel waiting for you in the car, right? Super important. Have a towel waiting for you in the car to dry off your feet. But wear good shoes that give you sure footing. That way you have the confidence to go out and explore and maybe get that shot that you would be hesitant about if you didn't have the proper footwear. Now, as for the rest of you, it's pretty basic, right? Rain-resistant pants, layers on top, and then I wear an Eddie Bauer rain jacket. It's a lightweight rain jacket, but it has a big oversized hood, and it has vents under both armpits so that if the weather is kind of warm, but it's still wet, then I can vent the jacket and stay comfortable. Now, with the hood, which I really like, it comes down low, though, so I wear a baseball cap so that when I pull the hood up, the hood doesn't go down over my eyes. The bill of the baseball cap keeps that hood at the proper level. Super small thing that is so important because if you don't have a cap on with a bill and you pull that hood up, it's going to keep falling over your eyes and it's going to annoy you and maybe distract you from picture taking. So great footing and then weather-resistant layers on top, and that makes a huge difference. Now, I carry an extra rain slicker in my camera bag, one that's more compact. I just keep it in a little zippered pouch, keep it in there, because that way, if I do get soaked, I can take off the rain slicker, shake it out, put it in the back of the car, and then put on the second one and stay relatively comfortable over the course of a long day. The next item, pack an extra baseball cap. And there's a couple reasons for this. Baseball caps are really handy in bad weather, as I was talking about, because when you pull the hood up, they keep the hood at the proper level. But I have an extra one in my camera bag because I have found over the years, nothing works quite as well as a baseball cap on top of my camera when it's sitting on the tripod. Right? Like if I'm, waiting for something or talking to someone or whatever, I just put that extra baseball cap over the camera. It helps keep the weather off the camera and it's really easy and it stays put. Even if it's a little breezy, it won't blow off. And it's the easiest thing in the world to protect your camera, especially when it's on a tripod, and then you just pull it back off. Now, over the course of the day, if the cap gets wet, you want to have a cap that has the adjustable band in the back that opens up. Because what you can do as the cap gets wet, then you can just hook it into one of the loops on your backpack, keep it on the outside. I start with it on the inside when everything's dry, but if it gets soaked, then I connect it to the outside of my backpack. And then that way, I don't have to worry about putting a wet cap back in my backpack. Again, same theme as with the extra cloths, is that you don't want to be putting wet things in the camera bag if you can help it. Make sure that it's a snapback cap. I think that's what they call it. One that you can open up, slide it under one of the loops. And, having a couple carabiners hanging off your backpack makes this sort of stuff a lot easier. Start a week ahead of time. You can't think of all the stuff that you're going to need in one sitting. You need time. So start a week ahead of time. Pack your camera bag, right? Get it the way that you think you're going to want. And then just stew on it. Just let it percolate in your mind. Believe me, it will percolate in your mind. Just let it roll around and you go, oh, I forgot the Ziploc bags. And then you go, oh, I forgot, you know, whatever it happens to be. I forgot the carabiners. All these little things that make such a big difference when you're out in the field. Give yourself time to remember all those little things. You need to start packing early, and then over time, believe me, you'll get everything in there that you need. And then the last thing that I'm going to suggest are trekking sticks to help maintain balance. Again, this idea of being comfortable and being able to navigate uneven surfaces, sometimes that are slick, right, because of the weather conditions that you're in, you want to be able to go where you want to go. So in addition to having great shoes, I find that trekking sticks or trekking poles work really well. They give you that extra level of confidence. Now, what I like to do is use a trekking pole that also has a camera mount so that I can use it as a monopod, you know, in a pinch. And one really good one, and I put a link to it in the show notes. By the way, I have all sorts of links in the show notes. But one that I like is called the Cascade Mountain Tech Trekking Pole. It's a carbon fiber monopod, and it's a walking or hiking stick. And then it has accessories that you can mount on the top of it. So it has a knob. You unscrew the knob. There you have your tripod thread, and you can put these accessories on there. One holds a smartphone. Another one is good for your camera. Another one is like a little V that if you need it for a gun, you know, a rifle, you can use it as a steady that way. So it has all these cool little things that you can use. You just take off the top and screw the top, and you put one of these accessories on. Or you can screw the camera right into the pole itself, which is what I do. This thing's $39. So not only do you have a nice walking stick to help you, you know, when you're on uneven ground or trying to get somewhere that's a little tricky, but you also have a very useful photo accessory to help steady the camera or to put your smartphone on or whatever you need to do. $39. Well worth the money. I always have a trekking pole with me, and in bad weather, I find myself using it quite a bit. So that is my list of cool things that you might want to consider for a bad weather outing, because you want to go out in bad weather, right? You want to go out. So here we go. Scale back, weather-resistant backpack, tough cameras, absorbent cloths and big microfibers, and lots of them, appropriate clothing, an extra baseball cap, start a week ahead of time, and then trekking sticks with camera mounts. All of these things will make your life so much better. Now, one of my favorite sayings is, there's no such thing as bad weather, only unsuitable clothing. And that's by Alfred Wainwright. Isn't that great? No such thing as bad weather, only unsuitable clothing. So true for photographers. So start getting your gear together, get out there in the rain, and make some wonderful images. The Fujifilm Instax Link Wide Printer. This is a cool little device that Fujifilm, they make these, a variety of these. This one's new that I'm going to talk about today. And the one that I'm talking about that's new makes 3-inch by 5-inch photos. And it's a really nice size for the way a lot of us shoot. This printer is now available. It's $149. And, you know, basically, you can carry this printer in your jacket pocket, have like 10 prints in there, and then use your smartphone to, you know, make prints right on the spot. Now, generally speaking, you have to send the image from your camera to your smartphone if you didn't shoot it with your smartphone, and then make the print. However, I was reading about this particular one, the LinkWide, that you can send images directly from Fujifilm's X-S10 mirrorless camera to this printer. That's really cool. I'd love them to add that functionality to the X100V as well. Anyway, So, you know, some of the language that they have on this thing is connect your smartphone to the printer wirelessly via Bluetooth, and you're able to add text to your photos, resize, apply a filter, play with the contrast. The options are endless. Well, they're probably not endless, but you do have a few options. Swipe up on your smartphone and print. Select your image preference. You can choose between two image color modes. There's rich mode for rich colors and natural mode for natural image quality. So you got some nice controls via the smartphone app that works, by the way, on iOS and Android. Personalize your photo and choose from over 30 editable templates to create greeting cards, invitations, and much more. Apply a QR code to your photo to link to a URL. Hear sounds you recorded and view secret messages and locations just by scanning the code with your smartphone. Be creative with the sketch, edit, and print feature to import text and sketches to customize your photos. They've got all sorts of stickers and frames. It's just a cool little device. It's $149. It's new, but the thing that I really like about it is these 3x5-inch photos. They look really nice. The quality is quite good. $149. I have the link to it in the show notes. Nikon and the Z9 are the photo industry's comeback story of the decade. Now, this is an article that's on Petapixel. I have the link to the article in the show notes. And it really caught my eye. I know the writer. It's Jaron. He's a good writer and he's a good photographer. I've shot with him a few times over the years. And he wrote this piece. And the reason why I'm bringing it up is that Jaron can be very tough on cameras and camera companies. But what Nikon has done with the Z9 really impressed him. So I'm going to read you a little bit about it. If you're interested in the story, you can go read the whole thing on Petapixel. When the Sony Alpha 1 was announced, I remember being really impressed but not surprised. Sony had been the brand to beat and had been continuously pushing the envelope. What Sony did was impressive but not shocking. The Nikon Z9 has shocked me. Nikon, the company that had been in third place behind Sony and Canon in the full-frame mirrorless market, and it wasn't a close third place, has not only caught back up, but has outright passed them technologically by a considerable margin. My expectations for the Z9 were to at least compete to just bring Nikon back up to par. That would have been good enough. But the Z9 reads like a camera where good enough was not good enough. No, Nikon wanted to send a statement with the Z9, and that message has been received. It's hard to fathom how Nikon did this, given how slow it was to shift from DSLRs to mirrorless, all while Sony was dedicating huge resources to developing its own expectation-shattering cameras. It felt like Sony was driving an F1 and Nikon a Honda Civic, and Sony got to have a head start as well. That kind of gap is difficult to make ground up on, let alone surpass, yet here we are. Nikon and the Z9 are without question the comeback story of the decade in the camera industry. There is a new top dog, and for Nikon, it's a return to a seat that the company has not occupied for some time. Canon and Sony will see what Nikon has done and have to work just that much harder. Sony won't just sit idly by as Nikon surpasses them, and neither will Canon. The race is back on, and I could not be more excited. So, yes, the Z9 is a heck of a camera. It's their flagship camera. It's expensive, but it's not as expensive as the flagships for Sony and Canon. You know, this is the camera where Nikon just said, we don't need a mechanical shutter. You know, we can go without that. And innovative screen, flip screen, the whole thing. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. The specs are outrageous. I am also very happy to see Nikon back competitive with Sony and Canon. I don't know if, you know, they're zooming to the front of the line or not. I haven't tested all three flagship cameras, but I do know that this Z9 is really nice. If you're a Nikon fan and you're pulling for them, you may want to read this article. I think it will really give you some fodder to feel good about And yeah, we have a real horse race again, and I am also pleased about it. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. A big thanks to our Inner Circle members, the folks that support this community and this podcast month in and month out. Welcome, new Inner Circle members. So happy to have you here. I just want to say that if you're interested in supporting what we're doing here, just click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Take a look at what we're doing, and hopefully you will become a part of this elite group of artists who really stand by the work that we're doing here and help us move forward. You know, if you've noticed over the last couple of years, we're not standing still. If things get weird, if things become challenging, then we push right through them. Innovate our way out of trouble every time. Inner Circle members help us do that, and a big thanks to all of them. And finally, I want to mention our good friends at Red River Paper, the longest running sponsor of the Digital Story, the folks that are the gurus of inkjet printing. They are the folks that provide everything that you need to get your inkjet printing on. And that's so important. We're coming into the time of year where prints are so valuable because they make great gifts. You can do creative things with them. And the idea behind giving someone a print of yours, whether it's on a fine art card or it's mounted behind glass, you know, you did every step of the process, right? You took the picture, you edited the picture, you processed it, you printed the picture, and then you're presenting this total piece of artwork to somebody else and you go, I did all of this. And, you know, they look at it and they go, this is not just something that I look at on my smartphone in an Instagram feed. This is something far more substantial and it feels far more valuable. And that's what printing brings to the table. If you want to create that kind of artwork yourself, then click on the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story, Red River Paper. It'll take you to our landing page. You can nose around. You can get some good paper. You can get your ink. You can get everything that you need. Get it now. Get it now so that when the mood strikes you or when you have to turn around a gift rather quickly, you have those supplies there already. They also have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. And a big thanks to them for sponsoring this show. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you feel ready to get out there and take some wet weather pictures. I'll be in Oregon next week, but I'll try to crank out a podcast for you from who knows where. Until then, stay safe, be creative. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.